This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome, folks, to another edition here of Krantz's Corner, the Dolphins Roundtable. The usuals are with me here tonight, Dougley Durong and Mike from DolphinsTalk.com, always here. Yes, Dolphins with another loss in the season, 2-6. And, every week we're talking a little doom and gloom, but now it's getting closer to actually being doom and gloom at this point, if it hasn't been already. This is my thought on the game, and then I'm going to let you both expound on it a little bit. Big word I learned today, expound, so don't make fun of me. I thought it was basically the best game they've played all season, including the two wins against Jacksonville and New England. And all I'm seeing all over the place is, and I had Perkins on Krantz's Corner blaming the offense. I had other guys blaming the defense. I want to see what you guys think about this, the game in general, and the good and the bad and the ugly from it as well. Mike, I'll start with you here.
Yeah, it was the best game probably Mike McDaniel has coached since he's been with the Dolphins in 2.5 years, and they still lost. That pretty much sums up this season in a nutshell. They have the same record now with Tua at quarterback as they do without him. That is very – that's not good. I might be the only person in America who agrees with Chris Perkins. I know that puts me in the minority opinion here, which I am fine with that, because we spend the majority of our money under the salary cap on offense.
Correct.
And when you're playing a good team on the road, I need the offense to come through. The offense did not play bad. The offense was not the sole reason we lost the game. I am not saying that. I am saying it would have been nice if they could score a couple more points. On a day where you're running the ball at a nice clip, your quarterback's having a sharp game where he's not missing anybody really for the most part, it would have been nice. And you're out so many players on defense, you cannot expect that side of the ball. You can't hand that side of the ball and be like, okay, guys, take me home. No, I would have gone for two at the end of the game to try and get a lead. Probably would have lost anyways, but like, does anyone want that game to continue to go into overtime? We couldn't stop a runny nose on defense last week. We're 2-6. We're not a very good football team. And this is year three. There's no moral victories, okay? I know they played well. Yeah. And there's a lot of people on social media, reporters on TV, looking for silver linings. There's no silver linings. This is year three. You got your high-priced wide receiver on one side, your high-priced wide receiver on the other side, your high-priced left tackle, your mega-paid quarterback, and you're 2-6. And you lose to a team that you always lose to. We've lost 15 to 17 to this team. Oof. We should have beat them a couple times along the way, including last Sunday. But again, they spit it up and gave it away. And it's this whole season in a nutshell, where even when they play good, quote unquote good, they lose. And this is a results-oriented league, and all we care about is the losses. And I know he played well this past week, Tua. He did. I don't want to get on him, but if you're going to stand in front of the media for the second week in a row and hold a press conference where you're spouting off your mouth and running your yap about, you try to go back there and catch a snap as you're sitting on the couch having chips. Don't drop a snap on the first series of the game. You look like an idiot. It's like, this guy, I don't know what's gotten into him. It's like, again, he played well. He could have played better. Right. He played well. I'm not putting the loss on him. But if you're going to run your mouth on the opening series, don't drop a snap. After you dropped a snap last week, that was a safety. It's like this organization is broken. It needs to be fixed. It ain't going to be fixed this year. They're 2-6. They're not going nowhere. This team ain't going on a run. They're 4-10 in their last 14 games. They're not going to go on the road and beat a bunch of quality teams like the Packers and Houston and such. But this past week game, Raheem Mostert with another fumble that cost them. It's one thing after another this year, and it's not going to be turned around the rest of the way. But last week, it's like, yeah, they played better. You still lost at the end of the day.
All right. Yeah, that's the sucky part of that whole thing. Dougley, same thing to you.
Yeah, that's where Tua having to stay healthy and Tua not being a hero and learning to slide would have been a huge advantage, because at some point we're going to face a team where our defense isn't going to be able to keep up with them.
Right.
But when we face the team like the Tennessee Titans and the Seattle Seahawks and the Indianapolis Colts, teams where our defense contained them and held them for no scores for multiple quarters, that's where having an offense that we saw the past 2 weeks would have destroyed them.
Right.
We would have destroyed the Titans. I think we would have won by double digits. Same thing with the Colts. And I think that two and a half quarters of no scoring from Seattle, I think we would have came away with the win there. But unfortunately, we didn't have our starting quarterback.
Right.
Now that we see we have our starting quarterback for the past 2 weeks, you see what this offense can do. Last week, the week before, Cardinals, 8 offensive drives, 5 scores. Last week, 7 offensive drives, 5 scores. When we needed to score, we scored. Marching down the field. And it's funny because I agree with Mike. We were marching down the field. It's like a minute 42 left on the clock. Second and goal. I'm thinking to myself, I want him to score, but I don't want him to score right now.
Right.
If you would have said that to me week 3, week 4, you would think that I'm out of my – we need points. We don't score any points. Now I'm like, wait. Just wait. I was saying through the whole live stream, score with like 5 seconds, 7 seconds left on the clock, go for 2. Win the game, go home. That's what I wanted. But unfortunately, Tua played at a top level. He evaded the pressure, gave himself some time, no look pass to Jalen Waddle. Felt like the Ravens game, boom, score, we're tie game. So it's like, all right, now I'm in the thought process of – we just need to make a stop. And we were right there. We were right there to make the stop multiple times. This defense in the first half, again, made the stops. But again, for 2 weeks in a row, when the second half started, they disappeared. And it was right there for the Dolphins. And I will say this as well. It also was right there when, like, Tyler Bass missed a flipping extra point. And then he's going to come out and make a 61-yard field goal?
Ugh.
Because I honestly think if the Miami Dolphins went into overtime, they won the coin toss, we win that game. I think they march right down the field, and I think they score a touchdown, and the Dolphins win in overtime. I honestly wholeheartedly think that because they were doing it all game. They were moving the ball at will all game. And Tua had one of his best games. Like, this is up there with the Cardinals game. And what made it even better was it's against an opponent that had his number time and time and time again. He was sharp. So many people come out and they're like, oh, he was barely throwing it for, you know, 8 yards down the field. Who gives a crap, man? He was moving the ball. He was getting the first downs. He was making the reads. He was getting to his second reads. He was doing what he needed to do, and he was carving up that Bills defense. And our run game was going off. And, of course, Raheem Mostert fumbles the ball. The one thing I do like about that is that he had one carry after that, which means Mike McDaniel finally is like, sit down. And I noticed that they also did that with Cam Smith. When Cam Smith was getting bullied by Mac Hollins, Ciaran Neal came in and was covering. And he told him, sit down. That's what we needed. If you're going to mess up, if you're going to struggle, we need you to sit down. You need to learn. It can't be like, all right, you'll learn from your mistakes on the field. Like a Julian Hill type situation.
Right.
Which, if you think about it, if Julian Hill wasn't injured, he might have also cost us the game with a penalty, a holding or something, or illegal motion. Because on the deep pass to Tyreek Hill, where everyone thinks could have been a touchdown, could not have been a touchdown, the next play, I think the third down play when we hit Janu for a potential screen, it was offensive pass interference. So it really didn't matter anyway. It's like we keep shooting ourselves in the foot. This team, if they could just get the pass rush down, and speaking of pass rush, Chop getting his first sack. Chop was all over the place. So he had Chop a very good game from Chop Robinson. I was very happy for him that it's starting to click for him. I'm very happy about that. If we can get a pass rush, like if Sealer comes back or when Sealer comes back, if all of a sudden him and Campbell and Chop start to really get it revving up, this is going to be the opposite of what Mike was saying, but I honestly don't think there's a team we can't beat if our defense can match the productivity of our offense. And it's so funny because the first 5 weeks of the season, I was saying the reverse. If our offense can match the productivity of our defense, we need cohesive gameplay from both the offense and defense. And I don't even want to start it with the special teams. Thank God we only punted once, because he punted like, what, 40 yards, and then they ran it to the Dolphins 45. It was like horrible.
So he's so bad.
You know, it's the offense these past 2 weeks did its job. Both times either gave the defense a lead or asked us, just, we need you to get one stop. And the thing that sucks is third and 14, Chop jumps off sides. I wasn't even mad about it. Good. Have that little rev. I want you to get in there. I want you to hit Josh Allen. It's 39. It's still a long down. And then you got the spy. You got the double agent and Jordan Poyer. That ball was already coming out before he hit Keon Coleman. And yes, I love the play. I love him running over and making sure that ball came out, but there was no need for him to put his helmet down and drive up. Use your shoulder, dude. Yep. Hit him in the chest. You didn't have to drive your helmet. But again, how the best make it a 61-yard field goal? You know for a fact, if this was a playoff game, that sucker's going wide right.
Right.
But of course, it's not a playoff game. So it happens the way it happens. But
if that was against any other team, it's going wide right.
Oh, 100%.
Us, and they just don't lose
it's
going to
be returned for a touchdown. That's
exactly
how they
lose.
Yeah, it's going to be a 108-yard touchdown.
I want to push back a little. Doug, everything you just said is pretty much spot on. I want to push back on one thing a little bit. I can't just absolve the offense saying they did enough. Because when we spend so much money of our cap on one side of the ball, there's going to be a couple times a year, especially when you got no Phillips, no Chubb, no Holland, no Sealer, you know, all these guys out. Offense, I need you to do a little bit more this week. I need you just to do a little bit more. Give me more than 27. Give me more than 30. And that's where they kind of let us down sometimes. Again, I'm not mad at the – it was a good offensive performance. But sometimes, if you want to be a great team, a couple times a year, you need a great offensive performance, especially when the other side of the ball is literally wounded and there's nobody left. I mean, we're starting Anthony Walker because we demoted the other linebacker, Long. We have to play – Smith, who pretty much hasn't played before and it looks like it at cornerback, he's a hot mess. So I just, if this was just a regular year and we didn't invest all this money on offense, I'd say, you know what, yeah, it should be 50-50. When we put so much money of our cap on offense, I kind of need to be 70-30 some weeks, and they got to do a little bit more, and that's the problem. They don't do a little bit more. And Mike McDaniel, you're right, he did put him on the bench after the fumble. Same thing with Cam Smith. It shouldn't have took to 2.5 years for him to start to do that.
Right.
That's the part that upsets me a little bit. Yeah, great, he's doing it now, but how many missed opportunities has there been in previous years where maybe the 8-3 start doesn't go wasted? That 9-3 start might result in a home playoff game. It's like, now he's finally doing it when we're 2-5 on the road. You know, it's like, that's the frustrating part for at least me sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they played well. He coached a good game. Tua played well, but we're so hurt, we have no margin for error. We're going to lose games on the margins. And those little things that most weeks you can say, hey, who cares? No, they matter a lot this year because we have no margin for error.
Right. And let me tell you, that's, and Perkins was on Krantz's Corner, and Chris did say exactly that. He's like, there are going to be plenty of times from the game one of the season till the end of the regular season and maybe into the playoffs where the offense just has to carry the team. They have to carry the team. They have to outscore the other team. It was against Buffalo, so we're not talking about one of these scrubby teams.
I just need a little bit more.
That's it. He didn't necessarily come out and say, and Perk was not spot on with this when he was giving me numbers about it too, because he said, I don't need the Dolphins to score 50 points every week. It'd be great if that happened. Sure. Awesome. We average 48. You're going to beat a lot of teams that way. But man, a game like this, when you're missing so many people, fluke injury to Sealer, and this guy's out, and this guy's out, and this guy's out, you got to have that offense play a little bit better. And the crazy part was they played a pretty good game. So it's not like sitting here and saying...
It's just the small things. Yeah,
it is.
Again,
it's the small things. You're right. You know what it is also? Undisciplined. They're undisciplined team. And the Poyer thing is a perfect example to go to at the end. And Doug, you hit it spot on. If he leaves with his shoulder, the Dolphins probably win the game. Like, the Dolphins win. Yeah. I'm not saying he is the reason they lost, but when you're pointing out, when the three of us are sitting here talking about, all right, what is your main focus? How do you think they lost this game? Okay, yeah. Best point we made, and we're all going to laugh at this. He hit a 61-yard field goal. Okay, that does not happen often enough. But you go to the little parts in the last couple of weeks, we could go to the Hill bad penalty or this happened or this happened. And in this game, one of the biggest plays of the game that probably cost them the game at a very uncostly and untimely, you know, play in the game was Poyer leading with his helmet and got that. And it stinks because this could have been the one. And I know Mike brings up all the time, 15 out of 17, this could have been the one and maybe. And I don't know if this changes the season, but maybe it does. Maybe it beat the Bills.
It's a moment at least where
and change the season.
Out of this miserable season, if we can come out of one thing after this year, as we look towards 2025, is look, we went to Buffalo
and beat them,
hurt, wounded, and we won. Right. We found a way to finally get that monkey off our back, so to speak. And for one game, when things everything wasn't perfect for us, we went to their building and we found a way to win. So maybe next year we can be like, you know what? Yeah, now we should split with them at least every year. If not, maybe at some point sweep them. We could have had that to hang our hat on because I don't think they're going on a road. This team never wins on the road. If you think they're going to Green Bay, Houston, the Jets, Cleveland, and they're going to win all those games and then win at home to San Francisco, and then, I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's not realistic. It's not feasible. This team, what really comes down with this game is it shows that this team is flawed. Yes, it's injured as well, but it's flawed, and there's flaws, and they have to play a near-perfect game to almost win, whether it's against Arizona at home or who's, like, okay, or the Bills on the road who are pretty good. Like, everything has to be perfect for them to win, and that's why they're not going to go on a run. But it's like, I like that they played hard. They didn't mail it in.
Right.
They didn't quit. And, yeah, they probably should have won this game in some ways, could have won this game. But like so many other games this year, one or two small mistakes, you lose.
Right.
You're 2-6 or 2-6 on November 6th. That's all, I mean, that's all it is. And now we got to go cross-country to play a Rams team who's getting healthy, who's coming off a big win. I mean, it's tough to have hope for that game. Honestly, our cornerbacks, how are we going to stop those two those two wide receivers? They've been out all season. They finally come back together the week we got to play them, it seems like. It's like we can't even catch that break.
No. Be like playing San Francisco this week if McCaffrey came back. Like that's the Dolphins.
We're going to play him when he is back.
I know. And he'll be a couple games in, so he'll feel a lot better about his Achilles at that point too and his calf. All right. One other thing that obviously has been something that we've talked about for a couple weeks now. I get taking a guy out of the game, defensive scheming wise. Listen, we can't let Tyreek Hill beat us. We got to box him in. We got to do this. I've never in my life watching football seen almost every single week them box in your two top guys on both sides and really not, you know, second half a little bit different, you know, obviously, and force feeding Tyreek. It worked last year, so I don't know why it wouldn't work this year if you try to do it again, if that's part of the offense. And the run game is playing fine. That's good. But, man, the lack of touches for Waddle and Hill at this point to me, it's mind-boggling. And I don't know if it's because Mike McDaniel's not scheming it right or if the defense is scheming it perfectly. I'm not sure. I don't go back and watch tape. I know, Dougley, 100%, I know you go back and do that. And Mike, I know you're always go back and watching film. I just don't understand it. I really don't, especially when you have the number one player in the NFL, when most of the league votes on that and says Tyreek's the guy. I would just find a way. I'd run the damn Wildcat with Tyreek Hill if I had to, just to get him the ball. But, Doug, I know you're watching a lot of tape. I know you're doing, when you do your recaps each week. Check him out, by the way, YouTube, Dougley Do Wrong. Check that out. Look at that little plug for you. But
shameless plug.
Shameless plug. I'm the king of that. But Dougley, what is going on? What am I missing as a person on the couch eating a bag of chips, like Tua says? What am I missing that we can't get Tyreek and Waddle the ball more?
I noticed, especially with the Cardinals game, there was one play with the Cardinals game where I think it was a third down where there was no one over the middle. Like, I don't remember where in the quarter. I think it was like in the third quarter. There's no one over the middle. And there was three receivers kind of bunched to the right. Like, there are times where McDaniel schemes things so like it doesn't make any sense where all of a sudden all these guys kind of end up everywhere. Right. And it's something that Kurt Warner pointed out last year when it came to the playoff game and that one interception where you had a tight end and the receiver kind of lined up right on top of each other. So Tua had to throw it a certain way and he kind of sailed it. McDaniel's doing a hard time of scheming people open. But I also noticed, and because, you know, you watch the film and some of the throws that Tua made to Tyreek Hill were tight window throws.
Right.
He was also manipulating the defense a lot, looking at Jalen Waddle, pulling linebackers over, pulling safeties over to get these guys open. And that's why you saw some more production out of Tyreek Hill, because Tua started doing the things he could do. So I think that is something we're probably going to start to see more of going forward, and something we didn't see for the 4 weeks he was out was the fact that McDaniel trusts Tua to do these things. So McDaniel doesn't have to scheme so much, where he knows, like, oh, if I run these routes, Tua will know where this is going to be, and he can manipulate the defense and do this and that. But yeah, I think Jalen Watt had like the craziest stat. I think it was negative 2 yards for a touchdown.
Oh, I know. He's on my fantasy team. Two catches, negative 4 yards and a touchdown. And I could not believe those stats. That end of the game play, it screwed so many gamblers over. You have no idea. Anyone who had the Tua over or Waddle or any of that. Mm-hmm. But go ahead. That's for another podcast by itself.
So he needs to figure it out. And that's where a lot of people and a lot of fans were clamoring for him to give up play calling and all that stuff. Because it's like, why, like you said, why is it that we're having a hard time? But then on the flip side, that might be why the run game
is doing productive.
We have the 9th best running offense in the NFL right now. And that's probably because everyone is so focused on, we need to take Waddle and Tua and Hill out of this situation. And all of a sudden, with Tua coming back, you see a boost in Jonnu Smith production, and you see a boost in the run game production, because they're so focused on, we can't let them beat us with their speedy receivers. Well, now we're going to beat you with the run game and with our tight end. And now, you know, as the season goes on, which it's too little too late again, because Tua didn't slide, it's probably going to get better for us. But again, we're kind of sitting in a situation where too little too late. Speaking of Tua not sliding, that 4th and 4 play, my butthole puckered.
Right. I was so scared. Right.
My dad was like, yeah, Tua. And I'm sitting there just like, what are you doing, dude? Right. But you know what? I noticed too, last thing I'll say, I noticed this. Defenders are now afraid to hit Tua.
Oh, you don't want to be the guy.
He might be using that towards his advantage. Because I noticed that when he didn't go to charge somebody, he kind of went down to get the first. The Buffalo Bill defender jumped over him. Instead of trying to like hit him like they normally do, he like jumped over, like, I don't want to touch this guy. So he might start using that, like how Mahomes uses that juke to the sideline and come back in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It would be nice to see. I'll tell you what, now, Michael, let you go in a second. It would be nice to see Tua on a 4th and 1 play try to dive over the middle, and everyone just lets him go because nobody wants to, like,
like he has leprosy or something.
Oh, God, he's contagious. I'm not touching. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Doug, you think it's so easy to slide. You're just sitting there on your live stream eating chips. Right. It's so easy to slide, Doug. It's so easy.
You pull out a bag of chips.
Not chips.
I love it. Good man.
Good man. I mean, look, here's the deal. And it really was Sean McDermott who came up with the blueprint how to stop this Miami Dolphins high-powered offense and why they have so much success, you know, versus them. And every other team's watched the tape and caught on. And I can't be mad at McDaniel, because what he's doing since he's been back to is obviously working, run the ball, short passes, dink-dunk game. The part that's a little annoying is, why did we pay these two wide receivers all this money to be run blockers and decoys? There needs to be a happy medium where, yes, run the ball, you know, take what's there and what they're going to give you, but we also got to find a way to scheme up some big plays more than once a game too, to these two high-priced wide receivers who are such weapons. So I can't be mad at McDaniel. He's taking what's there. And it's working for the most part. It's working. Right. They're putting up points. They're, you know, longer drives, all that stuff. But there needs to be the happy medium. He needs to take it to a next level. Like, okay, we're going to take what's there. But a couple times a game, we got to really find these guys down the field, explosive plays where, you know, I can scheme them open somehow, some way, where they're not expecting it then, or they're not going to expect it from this formation. We're not there yet. You would like to think, once again, in year three, our head coach might be there, but we're not there yet, clearly. But I can't be mad at him because the offense has improved since he's returned in the two losses. And I mean, it's, once again, it just goes to this overall frustrating season that we're having, and that we're so close in some of these games, yet so far away. We can see what's working, what's not working, and it's one play here, one play there, which hurts us every week. I mean, not to just go totally off topic, I would like to use the rest of this year almost as glorified preseason games in some way. Let's come up with a better plan for 2025, because I don't think anyone's getting fired. As much as we want somebody, not so much the head coach, I don't think anyone's getting fired. I just don't. So if we're going to be stuck with these people, let's try to come up with a plan for 2025 to make this work somehow, some way. So to me, right now, it's less about the outcomes of the games and more about what can we get to work. So with the guys that need to be out there, Jalen Wright more, Raheem Mostert less. I know Armstead's actually healthy for like a long stretch here, but probably should get Patrick Paul out there some. In these games, give them some experience at some point. Maybe not right now, but maybe once you get past the holiday into that final month, get him more work. Muhammad Kamara should be active every week, period, bar none. Do not keep him inactive anymore. Just let him take his lumps, because we're 2-6, and there's a reality to this, which they totally fumbled yesterday at the trade deadline, that we're playing for next year. And, you know, for many – I actually wrote something about this. For many years, the front office and the Miami Dolphins – have lied to fans and sold them false hope. Now they're lying to themselves and trying to sell themselves false hope. It's kind of like a 180. It's like, guys, you're not going to make a run. You're just not.
And they're banking on it at this point as well. They're banking on that run towards the end.
They're saying it publicly. I wonder if it gave a little bit of truth serum, if they would say that privately.
Right. All right, Mike, I'll stay with you here. We talked a lot about the offense. We broke down the offense, Mike McDaniel, this and that. How much are we blaming the defense, realistically, knowing that they're shortchanged, they're down players? I don't think they've been at 100% all season long with what they have. Forget about what we lost in the offseason. But all the guys that are actually here have not been on the field together, including Bradley Chubb, who I love the reports on him where, oh, we're hoping he does play this season. Oh,
what's
my God.
What's the point at this point?
Right,
2-6.
Right. You're 2-6. Like, I wouldn't, if he is in your quote unquote future plans, let the guy just sit out the rest of the season. You're not.
He's just going to take away reps from the guys who need reps,
right? From Kamara or for Chop, whatever the case may be. What are we kind of? And I'll say this in a grade kind of fashion. What are we grading the defense right now, and grading Anthony Weaver? Two different grades here, because you want to grade Anthony Weaver on what he's done so far with this defense, shortchanged every single week, and the defense in general when it is out there on the field playing, knowing that they are missing a bunch of pieces all over the place.
For Weaver, right now, it's an incomplete grade. He's had so many injuries versus the teams we played with, like, not very good quarterbacks. His piss side of the balls looked okay versus the real quarterbacks. Josh Allen week two, Kyler Murray this past week, they looked not great. So I got to wait and see more. The part that, and it's going to make it tough to judge him this year overall, because you look at that side of the ball, there's a lot of guys who are not going to be here next year.
Right.
Jordan Poyer, Marcus May, goodbye. Kendall Fuller is like okay, and he's relatively cheap. If they moved on from him, I wouldn't be shocked. They got, you know, Emmanuel Agba, he ain't going to be here next year. Campbell, he's going to be 39 next year. At some point, he's probably going to hang it up. And even if he doesn't, is Miami going to want to bring back a guy? Right now, he's only giving you 30 to 35 snaps. What's he going to give me next year when he's 39? 20 to 25. Like, at some point, you don't want an old guy like that on a team that's going to have so much. I don't know if we're going to get a fair judge on him this year, Weaver, because Chaelon Phillips here for a couple games.
Right.
Chubby probably won't have it all. Zach Sealer, who the hell knows what happened with him in this eye injury. It's just, I think it's tough with Weaver, but that side of the ball really needs an overhaul from middle of the line. But you know, Jones is terrible. Jordan Poyer, as I said last week, I'll say it less colorfully now, stinks on toast. Ah. Marcus May's nothing special. Linebackers, Long's having a down year. Anthony Walker's a backup who we just happen to have to start now. Jordan Brooks is okay. He's okay. Nothing to get you excited. So it's just like there's not a lot of horses on that side of the ball. So it's tough to give out a grade when your main horses are hurt and not there, and the horses you got aren't any good.
Right.
And you got a new coordinator who's trying his best. So I don't want to come down hard on him. Let's give him one more year. This all year's right. Kind of you got to work his way
fine.
Through this year.
Yeah, incomplete is a perfect. Listen, I had plenty of incompletes in high school. There, it's plenty fine for that. Dougley, same thing for you here. Defense.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like if I had to give, like if I was
right.
Just
more I'm putting you both on the spot and asking for grades. No, you know, I'm doing that. So go ahead.
Yeah,
you're right.
If I had to focus on just what he can call and what he can do, I'd give him like a solid B. You know, not great, but it wasn't horrible.
Right.
You look at plays that are happening, like the 65-yard touchdown where Marcus May just decided not to tackle him and
right.
Like completely olayed.
Right.
You see the fact that he has Bowser as one of his pass rushers instead of having Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. I think if Phillips and Chubb were out there, I think this team would be completely different, even with out Tua for 4 weeks. It sucks. It's like, we got the back end of 2023 starting 2024. Right. Like we're just decimated at the pass rushers, and you know we're relying on these rookies who, you know, being a pass rusher as a rookie, you know, a lot of people expect you to come in and give me this many sacks. If you remember Anderson, who won Defensive Rookie of the Year, he didn't start going off till after week 10. Like it's not something that you come into the league and are instantly, you know, TJ Watt, or you know, you're this all-star pass rusher. It's very rare for that to happen. So, you know, we kind of had to throw Chop out there, who again, we got to remember is an end of first round pick. He's not a top 10 pick where again, we're expecting explosive plays. Mo Kamara, everyone's like, Where's Mo? He's a fifth round pick. He was a fifth round pick for a reason. Like people got to remember these things. So we have Emmanuel Agba out there with a tear or some type of injury to his pec. We have Calais Campbell out there, who's an absolute beast. How many times have we seen that guy shoot into the backfield? And like, he is going to be 38. Like he's
38.
Yeah, right. He's a beast. I'd bring him back for cheap.
Cheap. Yeah, of course. I mean, why not? Yeah, at that point, you know, like Mike was saying, if he's going to give us less plays, that's fine.
Is he going to come cheap though? He might not come cheap.
I don't know. That's the question. Also, you know, he might also want to say, listen, I appreciate my time here in Miami, but I really want to make a run. And this team, I'm going to go sign with them and be a backup there, you know, for, you know, the majority of the season, but I want to make a run at a world championship. And that's fine too. That was sort of the rumor around trade deadline. Mm-hmm. If Calais goes to the front office and says, guys, listen, do me a favor and trade me somewhere. And they would have done it, I'm sure, if they did that. But I get that with that. By the way, let's hit the trade deadline quickly also. Shocked, not shocked that absolutely nothing was done by Chris Greer in the front office. Doug, let's start with you.
Not shocked at all. I said it in my video. I gave two sides of the pendulum, essentially. I don't even know if that's the phrase I want to use.
Sounds great. I
talked about why they would buy, and I talked about that the four teams that are ahead of Miami right now when it comes to playoff standings that I know, you can hit the sound if you want playoffs. They are not good, and they are going to be facing harder opponents than the Dolphins are in the next three games for the Dolphins, because I think the Bengals have a bye, the Jets have a bye, you know, but their next three opponents, the Dolphins have an easy slate. These guys are facing the Ravens, the Steelers. They're facing each other with the Titans and the Chargers. The Bengals and the Chargers are facing each other. They're going to start knocking each other down. So at the point where if the Miami Dolphins win the next three, they'll be 5-6. They might be in the eight spot, you know, but again, this is where I said again in the video, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's why where you can go on the side of buyers, you know, Rosenhaus or Rosen, whatever, came out and said, hey, the Dolphins might be aggressive. They were aggressive for 3 weeks, yada, yada. I didn't believe any of it. And that's where you can kind of see they don't want to give up on the season, you know, at 2-6 because blah, blah, blah. And you can see it. You know, there's a possibility they get the pass rush. They go out and get someone like a Max Crosby. They go out and get somebody like Aziz from the Giants.
Right.
God bless you.
Thank you. Then all of a sudden, your pass rush and your defense kind of takes that step, and then you can compete with these teams like the Texans, like all these other teams. But and then the flip side, you would be sellers because you're 2-6 and you suck, and plain and simple. But what I think happened, I fully expected them to stay pat for the simple reason, and this is hopeful thinking, is they don't know if Chris Greer is going to have a job at the end of the year. So why would you have him mortgage the future when he's not here? Or why would you have him add draft picks for future he's not here? Now, obviously, he if he's not here, he's going to be like, why am I going to trade away Tyreek Hill and get a first-round pick to, you know, the Steelers? You know, because everyone knew that they needed a receiver. Why would I trade away Teron Armstead to a team that needs a tackle and get a second, you know, this or that, when I'm not going to be here? So they stayed pat for that exact reason. They probably don't know what they're going to do with Chris Greer, and you can't have him mortgage the future if he's not here, and you can't have him build a future if he's not here. And that's why I full-fledged thought they're not going to do anything. And hope and pray that Bradley Chubb, who has a DirecTV package of ACL Plus, is going to possibly come back, which he's not. He's not coming back. Isaiah Wynn's not coming back.
Right.
And we're going to have to run with what we have, and it's going to cost us games, and we'll probably go 6-11.
Right. Mike, same thing to you.
Am I shocked? No, but that's the problem. Like, of a few things. Number one, should they have traded for anybody? Of course not. No, that makes no sense. And I know that report from Drew. I actually spoke to somebody who would know. And how I asked it was, were they talking to, like, about possible adding, like, small pieces, which, like, who cares? Nobody cares about. Or, like, big pieces, which would have raised your attention. Like, oh, okay. Both. Nothing happened from it. But, you know, and no, don't trade like Hill or someone like that. But when it comes to guys like Agba, Mostert, Jeff Wilson, even Campbell, none of them are probably going to be here next year. So it makes no sense not to trade if there are offers, obviously.
Right.
I don't care if you're getting a seventh round pick in 2026, let alone 2020. Do it. Like, these guys are not your future. And those old guys, if they had offers for any of them, do it. I think Chris Greer, I think they know he's coming back. I think this whole Tua, McDaniel, Greer, you know, they're going to sink or swim together for the next year or two or three. I think he's coming. I don't care how bad it gets. They could end the season with 2 wins. I don't think he's getting fired. I don't think he's getting fired. I hope he gets fired. I hope I'm wrong. I don't want him to get fired. I would volunteer to tell him the news he's fired. But I don't think it's going to happen. So the fact he didn't trade, you know, any marginal pieces of old guys who are not going to be here next year, even for a sixth or seventh rounder, when you're 2-6 in November, if he had those offers there and he didn't pull the trigger, that's why the organization hasn't won a playoff game in 24 years. That's a common sense move. No, don't add anybody. No, don't trade Hill or Rant. Don't do something but marginal old pieces that can get you a fifth, sixth, seventh rounder. Take them. Who do you want? I'm not saying no to, like, out of the whole roster, there's only 6 or 7 guys I wouldn't trade.
Right.
I mean, seriously?
Yeah. I know.
You want Long, you want Jordan Brooks, you want Marcus May, you want this guy, you want that guy, you want John Smith, take them.
Make me an offer.
Okay. There's only 6 or 7 guys are untouchable. But really, when it gets to those old guys, if they had an opportunity to make a move and they didn't do it, which none of us know, obviously, they're idiots. Because they should have done it. I mean, you're 2-6.
Right. Right. I think the only way that Chris Greer is not running this team next year, offseason, draft, free agency, the whole deal, is if somehow they end up with 3 wins or less, like one more win. And
I don't think that matters.
I think 3-14 is good enough to show.
Hey, look, our quarterback got hurt.
Right.
We knew about Chubb and Phillips. They weren't going to be ready this year. We had some bad luck. Give us one more.
Right.
An ink and a half. And plus, the owner just doesn't like to do it. He doesn't like to fire people.
He doesn't like to fire anybody. I know.
He doesn't like to fire anybody. So, plus, he's older. He's not going to want to go through this. I think whenever it happens, when they move on from this trio that we have at those three important spots, that's when you'll see him either move on from the team, pass off to his daughter. He don't want to go through this again. He don't. So I think they're going to ride it out for as long as they ride it out. And then when 2028, 2029, whenever, that's when we'll. And I know as a fan, that's disheartening.
Yeah.
Because you've been through so many bad years. You tell me, I got to stick through two or three more drafts of this guy. I got to sit through more press conferences of our head coach mumbling through sentences, which make no sense. I got to watch our quarterback struggle at times in big games. Yeah, we might have to. That's being a Dolphins fan.
All right. So you just summed up being a Dolphins fan in a nutshell for you. All right, Doug, give me a hot take on Monday Night Football and tell everyone where to find your stuff. There was your hot take. Now tell everyone where to find all your stuff. That was a perfect hot take. You could have just went, all right, find all my stuff on YouTube.
It could go either way. It really could go either way. It comes down to the defense. Now, we're facing a quarterback that's not mobile like Josh Allen and Kyler Murray, but we are facing a very capable, good armed quarterback in Stafford. I'm hoping we get more than three sacks. And if that's the case and we get pressure on them, I think we win the game by 10 points. If we can't get after the quarterback, it is going to be another game where we're sitting here hoping and praying. I'm hoping for a win.
Okay. Where's everyone finding your stuff before I let you run?
YouTube.com/DougLeDoWrong. Also on Twitter. Thank God the election's over so I don't get berated with politics stuff anymore.
So excited about that. I still got three calls today, robocalls today, by the way. Three robocalls. I'm not donating for 2028 or whatever it is. Like, leave me alone. Mike, hot take and tell everyone where to find everything.
Yeah, Rams this year, total defense, ranked 24th. Passing defense, ranked 23rd. Rushing defense, ranked 24th. Scoring defense, ranked 22nd. The Rams stink on defense. Miami might score 30. Problem is, I think the Rams are going to probably score 40. And if you like to gamble this game, bet the over because I think there's going to be a lot of points. And this is one of those games where Miami's offense is going to have to put up a lot of points to win. And because they're not playing a very good defense, and we need Hill, Waddle, and Tua to earn those big money contracts and if you want to win. Check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. Also, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, at Dolphins Talk.
Good stuff from both of you today. Average stuff from me. This has been the Dolphins Roundtable with Mike from DolphinsTalk.com, Doug LeDoWrong, and me from Grant's Corner. We'll do it again next week after Monday Night Football. I cannot wait. I can't believe we're the only game on Monday night. God help everyone who's got to watch that game outside of Dolphin Nation and Ram Nation at that point. Good Lord. Not the worst Monday night game, but very close to it at this point. All right, it's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week after Monday Night Football. For Mike, for Dougley, I'm Zach. Thanks for watching, supporting, and everything here on Grant's Corner. It's been the Dolphins Roundtable discussing the 2-6 Dolphins. Speak to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.